All right, folks, welcome back to Nino's Corner.tv. This might be good enough for Fluff too. We'll see. I'm joined once again with Nick Alviar. Nick Alviar, buddy of mine, going to be talking all about crazy shit today, celebrity cloning being one of them, which I heard is true. I heard this through the grapevine. Do I have any evidence of it or validation? No, but I've heard it's true. And what have you been up to, Nick? I mean, I haven't talked to you in a long time, man. It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
What are you up to, bro? What projects are you into now?
It's been a minute and a half, man. It's nice to be back on.
Absolutely.
Man, I've been so busy. It's been crazy. Not only on like the personal relationship front, but man, just the ambition of just keeping on going. Like what I'm doing right now is a handful of things. Let me share my screen real quick to give people an idea. I just moved from Beverly Hills to a really sweet spot in Santa Ana. And
in Santa Ana, though.
I'm in Santa Ana and Santa Ana, man. So I moved to this great three-story house with a great backyard where we've been doing movie premieres on a 100-foot screen and DJs and stuff. It's been really fun. But the house I moved into, we turned it into a studio. So right now we're creating the Hushcast.tv. It's a podcast where we're having a lot of my main guy right there, Bishop. He's got so many friends from the hip-hop rap scene, marijuana scene from 2015 onward. That now we're integrating them into our studio and slowly red pilling them, which is
nice.
Yeah, because I want to create a red pill rap genre. Right now, I have also a record label that has been created here. Let me just show you Good Line Records.
I love that picture of you, dude. Jesus.
That's like
dude.
That's my Steven Seagal right there.
Oh, my Lord.
So those are Nick's picks, actually. But anyway, yeah, here's the Good Lion Records. I started it with a really good friend of mine named Scotty the Kid.
I've heard of him. I think you told me about him.
Yes. And so you go hear the records. Right now, what we're investing in is the dream. It's $333 a month for basically getting access to both Venus Looking Glass, which is me, and Scotty the Kid, which is Scotty, and a lot more to come. And we're planning on doing music festivals and film festivals around the...
Hey, and you and I may be doing our own little documentary.
Oh, and Scotty's going to be our videographer, bro. Oh,
there you go. Let's get it going.
He's actually way more than a videographer. He's so way... Folks.
Nick and I have been talking about Nino's and Nick's, or Nick and Nino's great adventure. We have it all mapped out. We got an idea what we're going to do.
Dude, and it's getting more mapped out. Like yesterday, I spent a few hours with Scotty on the phone. He's like, okay. Well, where are we going? And I'm like, here, there. And then he's like, okay. So now we're going to bring to you.
Without saying it, I'm here. Let's just.
Yeah.
Because I sent you, I texted you. You saw it, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. Actually, cool.
So I already knew. I did a little bit of research and I rediscovered that name. And so we'll bring to you a lot of the work we've been doing so that it's just all you have to do is say, yes, I will block out that amount of time to do it.
And then, I think we should do it in September, man.
That's actually not bad. That's not
late
bad.
September is what I'm thinking.
Late September. That's good. It gives us more time to, you know, get our gears.
My birthday month, baby.
That's your birthday month. Yeah.
Now it's like depressing. Dude, it's like, shit.
How old are you?
A year.
Turning 40? You're turning 40 years 45, old?
45, homie.
45. There we go.
Here we go.
Donald Trump, baby. Yeah. No.
Yeah, 45, baby. 45.
I think when you're 65 is when it'll.
I know. Yeah. You know, my dad's 87 and he said, he's every decade he said has been amazing, man. He is such a good optimistic, good life perspective. And that's why I think he's lasted so long, you know.
Yeah, it's really all about attitude, man.
It is, dude.
Yeah, that'll determine how far you go in life is your mental state. No matter what happens in your life, how shitty it is or how shitty it's perceived to be, I promise you there's probably always someone who has it worse. So like adjusting your mindset a little bit might make it just a little less of a load. Yeah, like I thought I had issues and I started listening to the woman who lives here. She's an older woman. She started telling me things like, and I'm thinking, wow, how could I complain? When I hear this, you know?
Dude, I tell you what, like, what does it say? I was complaining about having no shoes until I met someone with no feet. And that person with no feet meets someone with no legs. I don't know. Keep going.
Exactly. I remember when I came back from this Hawaii trip where I was making an audiobook for someone who was a regular on my podcast. He turned out to be really dark and demonic, and I had to end up leaving. But I remember when I came back, it was like I was I lost everything. Like, I didn't have anything to my name. And then I remember walking on the street on a hot asphalt, and my shoe just gave out on me, and I didn't even have shoes anymore. Like, I don't even have shoes right now. This sucks.
Holy shit, bro.
And I remember looking up at this house on the corner, because it was in Ojai, and I was like, look at that house, bro. Don't worry about it. You're going to have a house like that one day. Don't you stop. Because if you don't have a shoe right now, it's just today. So... all right, but check it.
What are we looking at now?
I want to say thanks to everyone out there who has helped support me on this mission that I've got to make a film get on Netflix, to infiltrate Netflix. We all know
how do that. How do you get a film on Netflix, bro? Like, what does it entail?
It entails so first you got to have the right kind of gear, or let's say a Netflix original won't be picked up unless you are using the minimum, or you know, anything within the scale of equipment that they prefer. So I ran a campaign aiming to get two red Komodos, and I got one in two weeks from wanting one. Here, this is what it is.
What does something like that cost?
This is 10,000 with everything. It doesn't come with batteries. Doesn't come with lenses. It just comes with the box. And, you know, like a lot of rappers.
Well, dude, let me ask you something. I've heard like you even using like iPhones are being used for movies now. Is that true?
Yeah. Like, I think it was David Fincher who did a whole movie on an iPhone. Unsane. Wow. And it was great. Wow. Yeah. Imagine getting a whole crew.
Dude, that's crazy that the technology exists now where you can actually. I mean, I come from a time when I remember like going into a news studio, or like they'd come to my house or watch me go train, and they'd have those huge, huge ass cameras, man. Remember the VHS recorders? I mean, I remember. Yeah, but
I do.
How far this has come. Now you're doing it all on your phone.
Yeah, now it's all on the phone. And like my one of my partners downstairs, he's doing all the videos he makes on his phone, and they're shittier phones too. And I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Why don't you use a computer? But that's his jam. That's how he knows how to do it. So, like, that's the thing. It's possible to do anything on anything now.
Yeah.
So I ran that campaign, seeing who wanted to help fund three movies. One movie is about Caviar Bishop, someone who was essential in making the pre-rolled cone joints that hit the scene in 2015 that had distillate and keef in it. It just made it way more stronger of a high. For those medicinal kick, and his story is phenomenal. So now I live with him, and I'm like learning about him every day, learning about the hustle and the grind that he has. That it's been pretty much passed down DNA. That's one film. Another film is Up Syndrome. There's a gentleman I know who's 27. His name is Brandon, who's been in People magazines twice for being an underdog, a badass who has Down syndrome. All through high school, he's given a lot of limits, a lot of pigeonholing from his administration there, but he always turned around and did it outside of school.
How old is he?
He's 27 now, 26, 27.
And he's an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur, man. He's got his own fashion line. He's a model. He acts in Broadway plays.
No way, dude. More power to him, man. That's amazing. You see, that just is proof for people to see that it doesn't matter. You can, what obstacles you have.
That's exactly.
You just go for it, man. That's what I tell everyone, like, even when I was starting in boxing, I'm like, I didn't know. I mean, I just wanted to do it. And I just said, I'm going to be an undefeated heavyweight champion. And I did it. And that's it. And now I'm doing podcasting. You know, guys like Gusty, we just believe. And that's why this socialism agenda is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it takes up the personal power away, the humanity's, you know, the drive for your ambition, the spirit, the spirit of drive, like it just takes it away. Like no incentive. Everyone sits around together and just everyone's mediocre. You never have to work for anything. You don't have big dreams. Yeah. I mean, it kills the human endeavor.
It's like the World Economic Forum, I think today or yesterday, saw they're trying to push the psychology that you don't have to own things to be happy.
And it feels good to work for something and own it, and and you earn that thing you got.
Yeah,
it feels good. What do you have to work? If you don't have that, then what do you have? Nothing. This is a lazy sedentary mentality, bro. That's all it is. Like, I know you want what's absolutely best for yourself, and so do I. So do the audience members. I mean, this is a disease, bro. These people.
It surely are, and it's easy to forget. Like, the other day I woke up and my homie, first thing he said, he was like, yo, bro, we're having a lot of fun and all, but keep reminding myself, we're still in a fucking battle. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, we are in a battle. Like, and then what's the exertion level? How much do I want to actually scream at the top of my lungs, or how much do I want to strategically continue to wake people up on low-key style? It's getting to a point now where it's so down our throats. This whole month, might as well call it PEDO month, is pretty much what
it
is.
Yeah. 100%, because that's what they're bringing in next. They're adding all these categories to put that P.
It's absurd. And I'm wondering, is there going to be a point where it just can't be allowed or not? I mean, look what's going on. You got a lot of people who took, you know, they're third and fourth, and they're still not connecting the dots as to why did mom just collapse? Why did dad just collapse? Why did little sister? And now they're
allowed. Look at Justin Bieber's face.
Justin Bieber and his girlfriend first, his wife first, whatever.
So, I mean, right there, and they're still not, no question marks, no.
I mean, oh. And so when I see this makes me angry, man. And anger is the thing that got Goodline going in the beginning. Anger was the thing that, I got fired for being a Trump supporter, and I was so pissed because it just ruined what I thought was my life.
Rage Against the Machine that said that? They said anger is a gift.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I think I always remember that line. I was like, fuck yeah, it is.
Yeah, anger is a gift. And if you can handle that anger and channel it in a way that might be conducive to your growth, it's going to help, because all you have to do is ask the question. I remember asking, oh my God, I'm so angry. What am I going to do with this? I can't be this angry. And then I saw Fall of the Cabal, and I put all my energy into making movies that were going to help people wake up.
Oh, is that what inspired you?
Yeah. I was making music videos at the time thinking that Goodline was going to be real estate and music videos. Then I lost my job and I was sitting home watching these documentaries, and then bam, it hit me. I'm like, wait, I'm doing what she's doing. I'm editing the same way she's editing. Why can't I can do this? And for like the 6 months prior, I was believing in myself to a point where I'm sure I pissed a lot of people off, because I wouldn't shut up about it. I thought I would be in Hollywood making movies in the big thing, in the big way. And then look at now, it's just pure documentaries, which is freaking awesome. I'm having a good time doing it.
How many documentaries have you done?
45.
45?
Yeah, in the last two.
Damn. Are you just busy all day long knocking these out or what?
I'm kind of like a cheetah. A cheetah will spend 75% of its time resting, and then 25% of the time it's running, breaking records. Yeah, in the world. So I'm like the same way, man. I do, when I work, I'm working so hard, people can't get a hold of me for 3 or 4
to the wall.
Yeah. And then I'm learning now not to invite everyone into my square.
100, dude. I'm telling you right now, especially when this happened with me. This, you know, boxing has spiked up and went down, crashed into rock bottom, found out rock bottom, had a basement, fucking almost died twice. I mean, my life for 8 years was terrible. And then, boom, shot back up with this social media stuff. And I'll tell you what, dude, old friends, people that I used to have around me that were around me when I was boxing, they get zero access now. I'm not letting them to this. I'm keeping my circle really, really tight now. Also, especially about with the things I talk about, man, you don't know who to trust.
No, that's the thing these days. I've thought I could trust people, and then like a week later, I'll be like, wait, what happened here? Oh my gosh. And then I learned my lesson. I'm like, okay, man, you have to really be careful who you let in, because especially in Hollywood.
Oh, it's the weirdest Hollywood weird. You're right in the middle of it, huh?
Right in the middle, and now I'm further out enough to not be bothered by any kind of weird psychic stuff, man. I've been learning about the underground city in Los Angeles that in the 30s, you can look at newspaper clippings about catacombs that were found underneath LA that were...
I heard the tunneling systems have layers or like levels to it. So like the first level, second level is all like the underground city stuff, and then for what, like travel and maintenance and shit like that, then it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and then that's when it gets dark.
Yeah, they actually wrote that there were lizard people living in there. In this
Who wrote that?
It is a newspaper article from the 30s. What ended up happening was they discovered this whole network underneath LA, and I have it on my YouTube. It's the short clip. It's a reel that I put on YouTube of the newspaper clippings, the maps that they drew, and then the excursion, because they're like, hey, they said there's a lot of gold down here. Let's go find it. And so, I mean,
So like, they came in contact with these lizard people or what?
I have no idea why they even said that. Why they wrote lizard, a race of lizard
people. When was this published?
33.
1933, you're talking about lizard people.
Yeah, what the heck?
That just goes to show you the reptilians. I mean, I don't dismiss that at all.
Exactly.
It makes more sense to me than anything, which is kind of crazy and bizarre.
Once you open up the rabbit hole of the mind big enough, you can fit a lot in it. And for those who are just dipping their toes in, it's going to be difficult to explore the way we do. But for example, celebrity cloning, Holly Weird, the movie I just made. It's about an hour long. It takes a deep dive into the story of Dave Chappelle and how even his cousin.
Dave Chappelle, you're going to say he's a clone or what?
Yeah, man. I got his.
Dude, I will say this. He looks different, man.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like he's taking testosterone different. He looks different. Like he is.
Well, his cheeks got rounder.
His cheeks got rounder. His eyes got bulgier. And his cousin came out on a.
But everyone ages differently. I mean, he's just aging.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What if he's just aging and this is normal aging process? His cousin would say he's not funny anymore. His cousin went on a radio show and completely spilled the guts about the entire thing. Do we know if that's really his cousin? No. But the show host invited
him. So you buy into a lot of this.
Even though I made the movie, I can't say for sure whether Dave is cloned. I can only say that from the evidence that's out there so far, it's highly possible, especially considering how easy cloning is. When I used to never think cloning was possible, but when you got movies like Boys from Brazil, it came out in 77. They describe in immaculate detail how you clone a human, and it's accurate.
So a lot of these celebrities, man, they do it with celebrities. Like if they don't want to play ball anymore, they just knock them off and introduce their clone, huh?
Exactly what we dive into in the movie. We look at Kanye. When Kanye went live.
Where's Kanye now?
Kanye now is probably, I don't even know. But he had a show where he went cuckoo. Do you remember that? Where he was on stage and he went, Google lied to you. Facebook
lied
to
you. Yeah. Oh, no, but he was on stage, right?
Yeah, and he's like, Hillary Clinton, it's a new world, Hillary Clinton. And he calls out Obama saying he couldn't be true to himself because he was being somebody else. Yeah. And then what happens? We get the debut of bleach hair Kanye about a week later. He comes out with Trump. And it's that awkward moment where they're taking
Wait. So what do you think? Like these guys are like in tubes, like full adulthood?
Two different types of.
Take them out and just. Program them with all their shit or like memories and
consciousness transfer where there's memories that you can clone the memory have an artificial consciousness, a soulless entity take over, or you can have another entity take over a body as a drone. So these are concepts introduced by Donald Marshall, who claims to be a clone, but his story is also very
outdated. Is Donald Marshall that black guy?
No, he's this pale looking dark hair, dude. Yeah, and his story, he brings up a lot of things as if he was a truther who completely digested everything there is out there on cloning and then came out and just started to regurgitate it. He could be that, or he could be true. There's things that he says I don't believe in. Like, I don't think he wrote all the hit songs for all the people he says he did. I think that's crazy. But when I think about Paul McCartney and the Fall McCartney and whoever was writing music for that guy, maybe. But then there's different things Donald Marshall brings up, different types of clones, how you grow the clone, robotoids. You got robot ones. They got actual ones. So it goes deep, and it's up to us how far we want to entertain what can be real or not. But when you start to examine things like the Dave Chappelle theory, who around him was threatening him to get him to – I mean, the whole story is
– I will say he looks different. Hold on. I will say he looks different, but – I mean, the guy is just older. He's like 40-something. What is he, mid-40s, late-40s? Maybe he's just fucking tired and he's just eating more. I don't know. I mean, can we go as far as to say he's a clone? I mean,
I know. And that's
why seriously, you get tired. I mean, I even get tired doing these podcasts, and I mean, I'm sure everyone does. I mean, and that guy went through a lot of hell, dude. And he, I mean, imagine always having to be on time, be funny, always be the next funniest thing. There has to beat that. Then you have to be funnier the next time. It would seem to me after a while, the guy gets tired and he's like, dude, fuck this. Yeah. And
here's where that's all valid. But in his situation, it was unique because of the Chappelle show. Now he ended up going off to Africa because of the pressure. The pressure was never, here's the theory. The theory is that there's a group of people called the Dark Crusaders that include Bill Cosby, Oprah Winfrey, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton. Around this time, Obama hadn't become president yet, and they were grooming him to become. It's 2005, Dave Chappelle, season 3, 2005-2006. And he was just, according to all of them, they didn't like how he was representing the black community, that he was almost doing a reversal, that he was making it okay to bring up all these racial commentaries. And they gave him warning after warning. And then they
even I could believe.
Right. And they tried to make him take psychotic medicine because they almost were telling him, like, you're crazy, man. You're going to need to take some medicine, bro. You're too stressed. And he's like, no, I'm not. You guys are just fucking, you guys are actually creating the stress that I'm going through. And so when season 3 came along, he got ahead of schedule and just dipped. And
then he dipped. He went to Africa or something, or where did he go?
Yeah, he went to South Africa. And the thing is, Oprah put a lot of heat on him. But I think that he didn't take it seriously because he just made fun of Oprah on season 3. One of the first couple episodes, there's an episode about him knocking Oprah up. And I think that was kind of like, shouldn't have done that. But he ends up coming back and breaking his hiatus, going on Oprah's show. And that is where it gets juicy. Once you know this Dark Crusader story, you see how Oprah's looking at him.
So are the Dark Crusaders just for blacks? Is that it?
Basically.
It's like the black mafia or what?
Yeah.
I would imagine Beyonce, Jay-Z and all them are involved as well, right?
Yep. And Dave Chappelle always brought this up. I bring this in the movie. He says, look, Hollywood doesn't you don't get into Hollywood being a weak person. So when you see people like Martin Lawrence reaching a new plateau in his career around the 2000s, and he starts screaming, they're trying to kill me on the streets. And then you have Mariah Carey reaches the new echelon of her career, and then she goes a little wacko and takes her clothes off.
What about Cat Williams?
Cat Williams, too.
That dude lost his mind, bro.
He lost
his mind. That dude went off the rock. He's off left field, off the rocker, bro, like outer space. Yeah. He was, and he was always talking about that, wasn't he? He was always talking about the Illuminati and trying to kill him and shit. Like, dude's so crazy.
Yeah, the people who speak up do end up getting whiplashed in some shape or another. Shia LaBeouf, he kind of got whiplash. Mel Gibson, of course. So some of them they can actually get to and then continue making money without spoiling anything. And that's supposedly what they've done with Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, if you speak out against these people, they go for the jugular. They go after you. I mean, look at Jim Caviezel right now.
Straight up, man. I mean, check this out. I know someone, and you'll meet him too, who made such an impact at the beginning of this awakening in 2020 that they started doing these massive rallies in person, and it caught on, and we started seeing the same type of rally happening in the UK and all over the world. And it was a big thing for one dude to manifest. Got to the point where by the third one he was going to do, FBI is knocking on the door, is calling him and threatening to make him look like a pedophile if he were to continue doing what he was doing.
And who's this?
I don't know if I can say his name, but I'll tell you offline. And you'll meet him because he's a homie. He stopped for 3 years because he's a family man. He's like, there's no way I'm going to keep going doing what I'm doing if my family is on the line. And that's how they get you. But you know what?
You're threatening your family.
Yeah. And it's cruel, man. It is very sad for those out there who want to do what we do, but can't because of the fear they've got holding them back.
Jeez, man. I'm just like anybody else. I have fears, you know, but, you know, man, fighting all my life, you learn to do things in spite of fear. You know, I've learned how to get in the ring 40 times as a pro, and, you know, you just put fear aside and say, fuck it. let's go. Let's do a tie one nut. And that's what I did. And then dying twice, dude, I kind of, it's like I've stepped on that at the other side, dude. And I'm on bonus time right now, Nick.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel right now, man. Bonus time. That's bonus a good time. Way to say it. You almost died twice. I know the one with the neck. What's the other one?
Overdose on drugs, and I flatlined on that one, and they had to bring me back with a defibrillator. I was in ICU for like 8 days, man. Just hooked up to machines.
Damn, bro. You are. It's like almost like we're paying it forward. Like when I almost died in the car, I feel like I did. And I feel like they're like, well, bro, look, you just died, but you're coming back. But you're going to have to work your ass off for humanity now.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn it. And then I do get to points, low points still. And it's just
of course, man. We all do, bro. Like sometimes I just think to myself, what is this reality we're living in, man? It's especially when you start elevating at a higher consciousness and you start seeing everything for what it is. You look and you go, man, so many people are still existing in this third dimensional bullshit game.
Yeah.
And they fall for this old trickery, this magic that the propaganda, it's all Satan's realm is the third dimension, nothing more. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what he controls. And it's like, once you elevate out of that, you could see everything from a different perspective, an aerial view. And I don't understand how people are falling for this stuff. I mean, I just blows my mind, dude. But I guess that's why people like me and yourself have these platforms. I don't know.
Exactly. No, it is. And it's, is this like, so yeah, I ask myself the same questions. Is this part of it? You know, like, sometimes I wonder if not that I'm suicidal, but I'm wondering if I killed myself, would they be like, you did it. You broke through. Good job. Like, what? That house supposed to
end? I thought of that too, man.
Everyone's on the other
but
side.
But it's like, I don't know. I don't think I have the balls on that one to figure that. Cause there is no quarterback on that one, dude. It's like, you make that decision. There's no going back.
I know. Yeah, I had a near-death experience almost the other day, and it really made me realize, like, no, I'm not ready yet. No way am I ready yet. Yeah, so I'm not ready yet. I still got some shit to do.
It's kind of like, dude, like the way I see things, like everyone, you know, at some point or another in their life, shit gets so bad, you're like, damn, you know. It was for me for like after boxing, like that, dude, my life was just garbage, dude. It was a complete fucking dumpster fire, and it was just like, I don't know how I was even. Everything that's happening for me right now is the grace of God, bro. Because, like I said, I should have been dead, and I was so depressed for so long. I think quitting alcohol helped a lot, but you know, but then diving into this deep dark shit, like what we're talking about now, it's just like my eyes have opened up so much more to like, wow, dude, this really is a spiritual war. This is it, man. Like, this is the final battle, dude. Like, we're in it.
It is, man. I brought that up on Jayco's, how, and someone reached out to me and they're like, I used to think the same. Like, I used to think, nah, there's no dark entities in this world. There are such things as real attacks. There's actual specific terms for it. Here in the West, we're like little sperms compared to the rest of the world. You go to India, you can call 1-800-COLLECT and throw black magic on somebody. And then that fucks up their life and their lineage. And that's happened to people I know. It's like, we're in Zelda, man. All the things that we find that are fantasy is like actually real, or even Super Mario Bros, where they're plumbers who go to the underworld and they're beating up these reptilians while eating mushrooms, and you know, like a lot of
there's like so much truth like in these video games and cartoons and movies, dude. It's unbelievable. Like, they hide it in the open,
dude. They do. They know what's up. The Japanese, I think they know what's up. That supposedly is where all the cloning centers are too. But like, really? Mario,
I heard Canada too.
Canada, I'm sure, for sure. Yeah. Clonade, I think, is where Canada.
That's I was just gonna bring that up. Clonade.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Kid Boo. I have him in the movie. Kid Boo might cruise over for the podcast. And
bring him on.
I heard clones don't sweat, and we had some people over who were just hanging with him, and they're saying he dresses in sweaters and long clothing in hot ass weather. So that's like another story. Yeah, like
Yeah,
how
kind of
you
strange.
what? Yeah. But I mean, man, that's the world we're in right now. It's kind of far-fetched. It's kind of crazy. But the more we're brave enough to step into the ring, like, bro, you were in the ring for so long. Now you're back in it in a spiritual sense.
Dude, I look at this now, like this chess game that's being played, like, whew, it's like boxing elevated squared. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm somewhat in the general's tent with all the interviews I conduct, the people I talk to. I feel like I have my fingers on the pulse to an extent, but dude, the one thing I've acknowledged more than anything is that this is 100% spiritual. And I was just gonna say this too. I have a video, dude, I gotta find it. It's in my emails, but of an entity that I caught on film. I got two of them. And you can see the shadow being walking. And this is at
Whoa.
my friend's house, dude. Yeah. So I know these things exist. I have it on film. I just have to go sift through all my emails from, well, it's 8 years old, the email, so I have to find it. But I can't remember where it came from, but my friend sent it to me. I'll have to call him and contact him, but it's an
Yeah.
entity that you could see in the wall. You see this thing fly off the dresser. My friend catches it all because they were filming orbs that were in the room. No, like, you could see him on the camera, right?
Wow.
And then all of a sudden you just see this thing on a dresser, like a red rag or something like that, shoot off the dresser, hit the wall, and then disappear. And then this black shadow looks like it's walking through the wall. And I saw it all, bro. I got goosebumps. It freaked me out. These things exist. They're there. Whether we like it or not, I don't know what they are. I can't explain it,
Yeah.
but I mean, they exist.
I think that's the fun part about being a human or a soul in the human shell is like we get to like, ooh, let's be detectives. Let's try and figure out what's going on here. I feel like that's the purpose of why we're here. And like the next movie I'm making is a blend of it's basically why we call it the rabbit hole. What is the moon and what are stargates all in one? And they all connect. And stargates are like portals, and there are many on in the United States, let alone the world. And the government makes sure that we don't have any reach to these sacred sites in the United States.
So these Stargate, that's your next film, is about Stargates. So isn't
Stargate.
there like is it, it has to do with like nodes on the Earth, right? Like certain areas that are on Earth, like I guess what, like 33rd parallel where the pyramids are? I would
Exactly.
imagine. Now this is just a guess. Is that like where most of them occur, or they are
Yeah.
they're at?
There's a lot of portals on those specific, yeah, on those ley lines that have a 33rd degree. There's like really a lot of that's a movie in itself. I have a script on that too, actually. Because I think there's the 33rd and then the 29th or something, and there's another one where a lot of mysterious things happen. And one of them is Skinwalker Ranch, which you might
Oh
see.
yeah, that's in Arizona,
Dude, what are those?
right? Is that Arizona?
I think it is. We should stop by there.
Dude, man, that place, they see like werewolves and Bigfoot and UFOs and like anything goes there. It's like a portal for all things wacky, wild, crazy, conspiracy. Like that place, Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
I've heard about that place so many years ago, and I used to watch podcasts on that, man, videos on that place.
It's
Dang.
creepy what is really happening. Like in this film I'm doing next, we might dip into Admiral Byrd and his journey into Hollow Earth.
Antarctica, right?
Yeah, he went to Antarctica
Yeah.
and then he did go to the he went to both. He went to one and was immediately like, rant, rant, shouldn't go there, then tried going to the other. But on one of his journeys, he it's recorded everything that he was saying because he was in a plane. And they kept the diary hidden for many years. Once it came out, we all have access to it now. We can see what he's describing as he's discovering the northern aspect of our world. And believe it or not, this is, and then I
Okay,
don't know.
you're gonna go into the flat Earth stuff.
No. This is different. This is more like as he was going up north, two planes came, one on left, one on right. He's saying right at this point, he doesn't know where he is. He's saying, I don't understand. There's valleys and grass and green. I thought I was the furthest north. It should be ice here. And then one plane to the left, one plane to the right with swastikas on them. They're like craft. He didn't know what they were. And his plane all of a sudden lost its ability to fly, and they guided him. And they guided him to a spot where he landed. And that's where the transmission ended. But he journaled everything else after. And what he describes is almost as if there are some very brilliant men in our past who have said that the earth is hollow and that there are layers that have land within it. So there's almost like six different types of lands within it.
Yeah, but didn't Bird also say the earth was flat or no?
I don't think he said it was flat. Okay. Yeah. But he was just trying to explore beyond. And in this place he ends up at, he describes it as he saw like a beautiful cityscape in the background that was all crystal. And and that the lights and the colors he could not describe. It was a weird type of light.
Oh,
it's so unreal. And like, if we die, do we end up there? Is Earth, is our section in quarantine because of these lizard reptilian people?
Yeah.
And are we the ones who've come in as angels from the outside to try and bring light within? Maybe.
You know, when I took DMT, I saw lights and colors in cities that were not of this world. And I remember looking at the colors, and I was like, I'll never be able to describe these colors. I'll never be able to describe these entities. You know, this mathematical, this geometry that I'm seeing, I can never till this day describe it. I mean, it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, it is. It truly is, man. I got a friend who will eat 10 grams of mushrooms and then do DMT.
Oh.
And the shit he's told me is phenomenal. Like, whoa. Yeah. And he's reached a place of very like sincere contentness in his soul. He's kind of like my mentor. He helps me a lot whenever I'm struggling. So, and the weird thing is when I first met him, I got out of jail. It was actually Angelina who introduced me to him.
Oh, nice.
And I saw him walk through the door and I was like, whoa, I felt like literally I was looking at myself. It's the first time I ever had that before. And then start talking and then we find out there's all synchronicities and I'm like, who are you? And then I find out like all these other things, like his dad looks just like my dad and his mom looks just like my mom. And I'm like, it's like as if the rapper version of me, I used to want to be a rapper. Oh yeah, I was 12 years old. Like when I was making movies as a kid, I was making music videos with my homies and we'd like light fireworks while rapping like the Chronic 2001.
Oh yeah, me back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I liked it. I was always musical, but like now because of so much that's going on, like yesterday I was in a, it's just so stupid. I was in an Instagram argument with Talib Kweli. I used to love him. But
you were arguing with him?
Now I'm arguing with him like, bro, you used to talk shit about the government and now you're supporting all this? Like, who are you?
Like, what about that? Let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. Because all these celebrities are coming out, like a lot of them. You're seeing who's picking the lane. Like, look at Matthew McConaughey, dude. I mean, come on, bro. Like a staunch Republican conservative. It's now like, going after your guns, dog.
And not even yesterday, he was supporting us. And then all of a sudden, he's flip-flopped.
Like, what the fuck? Like, you got to think, man. Like, what's his connection? I know he was born in Uvalde, but you think, is that a coincidence? The shooting happens in Uvalde. All of a sudden, he comes out. He's like, I'm against guns. I think they got dirt on that dude, bro. And they're like, that's what I think. I mean, and they're just blackmailing him, bro, or something.
I believe it, man. If anyone out there has done any bit of darkness, it's been recorded. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but it might be true. I had one guy tell me, he's like, yeah, I was applying for a job at the CIA. I was like, oh, how did it go? So, well, it's actually really weird because they sat me down, interviewed me, and then they showed me images of me in the world that I really had to question, how did they get those?
Satellites, right? I mean, they're taking pictures of everything. They're documenting everything. But we don't know. You know, I talked to Juano Saban quite a bit on my shows, and he says all roads lead to Antarctica and the Nazis.
Ooh, that's so juicy. Because they were all about the Aryan race. And
yeah, all roads lead to Antarctica.
They discovered these peeps, these whoever is out there, they discovered them. That's why the swastikas were on those ships. Doesn't mean that maybe Hitler and his posse are the ones that are doing it. Maybe they were inspired by what they saw when they explored out there. They had a time machine. They had the time bell. How much were they doing that we don't know about? And were they almost like, here's my theory on the devil. The church will make everyone fear the devil so much that it's almost symbolic that it makes people not want to look at their darkness. And if they don't look at their own darkness, they're not going to evolve. So make the devil as scary as you can make it so that you just, I'll be good. And recently I've been challenging that. And I've been almost discussing having a conversation with the devil. Like, I don't think you're real. And then I had an incident at night once where the devil came and he spoke to me in a fucking weird, weird situation. And it wasn't negative. He was just like, y'all got a bad rap about me. he's like, I just want to let you know y'all got a bad rap about me. You should do some research on who Lucifer is and who I am. I'm not all that bad. And then,
dark needs light. Light needs dark. I mean, it's yin and yang. If you really look at it, but they say he's the bringer of light, you know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm
right.
You know, I'm just saying like that. There's so many questions here. I mean, is it your shadow self maybe that exists in all of us?
Yes.
You know, you gotta worry, you gotta think about that.
And if you're willing to face it, like the devil, then you're willing to face your shadow self. And then you might start getting insights on, oh yeah, that's pretty fucked up of me. Oh, that's no wonder I feel that from childhood. And all these things start to surface that were suppressed. And in a similar way, they could have done that with Hitler. Make him look like the worst dude in the world so that all the things that he discovered will never even care to peer into because he's a Nazi. He's a Nazi.
He, I think, you know, there's a lot of documentation and sightings of him in Argentina.
Straight up, man.
Argentina, you know, like I think there was even photographs. I'm not sure. I guess my audience can look that up, but like photographs of Hitler in Argentina. Like that's where they went to Antarctica, Argentina, and infiltrated the United States. That's how I heard this went down. Yeah. So they didn't really lose World War II.
No,
because the public, it just looked that way.
Exactly. My dad's from Chile, and he's told me that there are mountain regions that you'll be traveling because Chile's so long up and down. There are regions of the mountains where you'll go through and there won't be a lick of Spanish. It'll be purely German.
What? Yeah. Yeah.
Purely.
And you know what? Even more so when I fought in Monterrey, Mexico, I'll never forget, man. By the way, racism's alive and well in Mexico because when I was fighting in Monterrey and all over Mexico City, it's the same way. There's classes of people. That's how they look at things. And when I went to, I can't remember the bar's name in Monterrey, but I think it was Clásico. I went to after my fight, right? After my fight, I went to this bar Clásico and they were not let everyone in there. The women were beautiful, 5'10", 5'11", 5'9", 5 up, beautiful blue eyes, speaking fluent Spanish, not a drop of English. And you wouldn't see what we call a Mexican inside that place. They weren't letting them in. It was like brown people or a shade of brown. You want to get it. It was all tall, white Spaniards and they money. And that's what it was at this club. And it was like, it was crazy. I remember I went in there and I could not believe my Spanish sucks. And I was trying to like talk to these women the best I could. Right. But yeah, it's crazy, man. And that's all European blood, man.
Yeah. Straight up. That's my blood. European to the max and a 10% Nigerian.
You got some Nigerian in you.
I'm pretty black. Yeah. yeah. It's a good thing. I think it's just, I like being part black man. I whip it out. Not like that. I whip out my black card. Like, you know, in a great situation, like Talib Kweli is calling me a Nazi and I'm like, I can't be Nazi. I'm black. And he'll be like, what? Oh, damn it. But yeah, racism is real. And it's usually with like bordering countries.
It's more class, man. Social class, like money. I mean, you know,
that makes great sense. Cause they'll hate, you know, people will hate what they don't have. And that can create a racism. It's not necessarily the race, but they want what you have.
100%. And you know, I think you can, I mean, I'm sure you've looked into this as well. I see things every day that birds of a feather do flock together, dude. And when you see certain people that are, it's frequency, it's vibration. Uh-huh. I think right now I have less friends than I ever have. And I think it's because I don't have much in common with anybody anymore. And plus when you're awake, like we are, and a lot of people listening to this, at a certain level, you don't want to be around people anymore that are on that lower vibrational awareness. It just doesn't do nothing for me, dude. It's like going back to the sandbox and playing in the sand. It does nothing for me. Yeah, it was fun at the time when I was that age, but now it's like, I can't talk to people about fucking UFC or boxing or football. I'm like, I don't want to talk about it, man. I'm like, there's so much shit going on galactically. Mm-hmm. You know, like what we're talking about. How can you fucking talk about that other shit?
I know. And then to be not even there, like to be extra and to degrade those who have had the courage to go out and learn what they weren't taught. Now we got to face people like completely hating on us for the way we think.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like, whoa, maybe we are in hell. And
maybe it's a purgatory. I don't know. But I think this is a proving ground, because I think you either pass the test or you do not hear, you know, and it's like you either go to a lower vibrational existence, a higher one, but it all depends on your soul energy or what you've learned here. It's a school, you know.
Straight up. It's a school. That's why we're here. And I think we're doing pretty good, man. I sucked in school, but this school, I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. I never went to school. Well, I was busy learning shit. Like Ted Nugent says, he goes, I never went to college. I was busy learning shit.
Yeah.
Which is so fucking true. If you really think about that statement, it's so true.
That's so true. Because you go to school and they're going to indoctrinate you quick. I didn't go to college until I was 24. And from about 17 to 24, I just I put my mind on becoming the best musician I could be and the best meditator. So I just, that was all I did.
I'm learning that.
Yeah, it helped.
I want to learn music, but I mean, I'm learning
meditation.
You know, man, if I could do it all over again, I would fucking never pick up the boxing gloves, and I would have picked up a guitar. Fuck.
Damn. Yeah. Wild. I'll bring a guitar when we go on our travels, bro. I'll teach you
some. Right?
Yeah.
Wait till you meet Wonder Bob, dude.
Wonder Bob. I like Wonder that. Wonder Bob. Of, like Wonder Bread. We can like make his name with the same logo.
Yeah. No, he's a great dude. I'll introduce you to him. You'll love the guy, man. Wonder Bob, if you're watching, we're coming to see you,
man. We're building the plan.
We're building the plan. No, but I'm starting to meditate now. That's I started cool. My buddy Steve in Austin, like a good friend of mine, Swanison, taught me. He's like, hey man, there's an app, you could just play it and meditate anytime you want. I'm like, why does it feel like every time I'm trying to meditate, like it's an effort, like something I have to do, like a chore? Like I got to not think of it that way.
Exactly. It's so interesting, the fact of just like when you are meditating around a lot of experts, they tell you when they sit down, it's as if it's their first time and also their 1,000th time. And truly, like the act of thinking that you're doing something gets in the way when it's really just like watching your breath is almost, it's like they say the hardest yoga position is the last one where it's the, can't remember the name, but you're laying down on the ground and you're looking up. Sounds easy, right?
Yeah. Well, that's actually my favorite. Yeah.
they say that that's the hardest one because it's relaxing your mind. That is, the difficult part. And that's the thing is, from the beginning of our youth school and everything, they could be teaching us as kids how to get our mind on lockdown, how to understand it, but they don't. They kind of just teach you how to like shut up and raise your hand.
They don't teach you how to learn. They teach you what to learn. Yes. Everything's memorization. And like, if you look at even like some of the most, what they consider these days smart, like let's say doctors, frontline doctors, look what they fell for, all of them. I mean, I don't know, dude. It's just, to me, it's like, you get put in a box and you learn just what's in that box.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And it's soul sucking. When I did end up going to college, I was living out of my van, doing Kundalini yoga, walking around barefoot. And then slowly after about 3.5 years, all that started to drain away and I stopped doing yoga and I started to feel more empty. And I thought, this is why I'm grinding for nothing. This is not going to get me to where I want to be. It got me a few jobs, but immediately after I just evolved into something else. The universe didn't have that in store, but there's a lot of people out there who are just grinding, going to school, just trying to make
sure now getting, I mean, how much are people paying for gas now? They just have enough to get to work. It's like, dude, this is crazy. This is the true test right here, man. How are people going to overcome this? This is when your creative skills got to go in overdrive and like think of ways to like overcome this, because, but we all got to do it together, because what they think they're doing is hurting us into a stable, right? Like that's what they think they're doing. But in reality, this is when humanity should be at its best. Like, yes. This is when we rise above, dude, right now. And that's what I'm trying to tell everybody. No, this is when we beat the fucking demons, dude.
Mm-hmm. This is it. It's forced. It's almost a forced evolution. Those who are not paying attention, well, you know, they're going to go get their fourth and fifth and then get their kids, their newborns one, because that's now a thing. I can't believe that. This is it. This is where we're at now. So,
dude, I saw someone at the gym the other day, again, running on the treadmill with a fucking face diaper, dude. I'm like, there's no hope for this dude.
No
hope. Like, just breathing in your own carbon dioxide, like just breathing that in, acidic, making your body acidic.
That's crazy. It's so uncomfortable. I can't understand how someone could do that and just be like, yeah, well, I have to keep on doing this. I'm a good person. I don't want people to judge me. It's like, come on, dude, breathe.
Yeah, breathe air. And you know what I'm also starting to think too, Nick? And I wonder what your thoughts on this. Sunblock. Like, I think that shit's, back in the day, I would have been like, oh, everyone needs sunblock, sure. Now I'm like, fuck, dude, is that a conspiracy too?
It is. It's like you jumped into my mind. I was watching something last night before I went to bed, and it was someone talking about, have the rates of sun cancer gone down? No. But we've had sunblock for so many years. Shouldn't they?
Right. Yes.
But they haven't. So is it the sunblock that's adding to it? Most likely. There's chemicals in that shit, and now it's getting burnt onto your biggest organ. Of course, it's going to cause damage.
Right.
Even like the baby powder with talc and the Faucis who mined that talc in the 1600s. It's like all the lineages keep coming back and back, and then even Elon and his dad. Elon's dad was doing the cobalt, you know, and like now the Tesla batteries are using that kind of technology. So how far down the rabbit hole do lineages play in the agenda that we're living through now, you know?
What's your thoughts on Musk, man, Elon Musk?
So, all right, right now I'm doing that one movie that's going to be all about Stargates and the moon, and then simultaneously digging up as much as I can to make the case that Elon is not who he says he is. I'm making
he sure did do a 180, right? I mean, like watching him now, I'm like, who is this guy, man? Like, is he pulling a fast one on us? What? I'm trying to like really analyze this guy and figure out what angle is this guy coming in on, because you know he's I believe that he was a black hat, and all of a sudden the guy makes a switcheroo like on everybody, and it's like, oh shit, are they positioning him to run? What's going on? You know, I don't know.
Oh, I could see that. I think he's a black hat, 100%. I don't think he's the brilliant person that the world's made him out to be. There's a few videos that show how he was not the main genius behind
Just like Zuckerberg.
And Zuckerberg I feel like Zuckerberg was gone a long time ago, man. When you see that guy speak and his eyes and the weird gloss.
Dude, he looks weird. It looks like his blood is green or some shit. Like, he looks fucking weird.
He's like, and I was human. I am human.
I was human. Like, in Biden. Biden, milky, white, weird little beady eyes, soulless.
Soulless. It's not the Biden that was speaking 5 years ago. The Biden I saw speaking 5 years ago looked like an angry demon. He looked like he had some darkness.
And that's what wears on your face, right? Like if you see pictures of Biden 5 years ago, 10 years ago, he had like a bigger forehead, like saggier eyes. And his nose was different. His earlobes were getting big and sagging. Now he's like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's like face work. Well, I mean, it could be face work, right?
It really could be.
It could be that.
I thought that too. And everyone brings up the ears and how the ear, like at one point, has a
low. Well, I mean, if you have face work, that would change too.
Yeah, I think they might anchor onto an ear. I don't see why not.
I mean, I'm just saying he doesn't look like the same person. Either face work 100% or he's not the same guy.
Not the same guy. Yeah, I know. And everything that's going on now with J6 too.
Let's watch out on it. Well, we get that fucking.
Well, we just can't use anything with the election.
Yeah.
We don't want to use those words. But like Ivana. The daughter.
Ivanka, or what?
Ivanka?
Dude, you just fucked me up.
Well, she whatever. Out, she wasn't yeah. for.
Yeah,
she,
totally. Like, I accept Bill Barr or Bill, whatever, Bill Barr, the same thing. Like,
yeah, and I thought, what is happening here, man?
But you got to remember the chess game, dude.
I know, it is a chess game. This is like a 107 type of conversation yeah. where, like, what I see now coming from
Trump, he would be losing his temper right now if he was listening to us talk. God, you never.
Oh, you would be? Oh,
you don't understand the game.
Well, I've been trying, and I've been pretty good at understanding, but at some point, the game needs to give me reassurance instead of the opposite.
No, bro, we need a morality boost.
But we need some morality boost. Yeah, because right now, like, I'm thinking, what is going on?
Who do you trust now? It's like, I don't even fucking know who to trust. I'm like, yeah. looking around going, fuck, dude, what? It's like people like all of a sudden you're seeing like family members like you're like, whoa, like everyone's turning into like vampires and shit. Like you too? Like they were bit too, you too? Like fuck.
That's what it's like.
It is, bro. It's fucking wild, man.
Zombies biting into other people.
Dude, exactly. Zombies, bro.
I've been pretty blessed lately. When I bring up I'm a J6er to people and I'm a little shy, I get mad love. And I'm like, oh, God, thank God. Because it could be one or the other. And most people are just, because of the state of the world, they're like.
Most people know. You think most people know, like, it's all horseshit?
I think so, man. I think so. But the struggle is that there's been so many years now to TV, man. The TV is the worst and the greatest tool for humanity. It's an indoctrination device. And it's done so good at doing that. The TV, if you are the Illuminati, the TV is gold. Because people don't, you can't make people imagine their reality. You got to do a lot of work if you want to make someone use their imagination to create the reality like you and I did. But what's the easiest way? Well, put a screen that's up on the wall, tilt their neck so it's up, and that will make their brain go into a lower brain wave, similar to smoking weed or being in a dream state. And what you see will be the power of yourself imagining something. So the things they put on the TV become real to you. If they're real to you, how much do we know about how powerful our imagination is? We are.
And that's why there's such a power in celebrity.
Yes. They are like the gods.
Yeah. They're the gods, demigods, I guess you could call them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Of today, and that's why they use them as puppets, and that's why the whole topic of celebrity cloning is a thing, because if someone doesn't abide by the rules you've set for them in a contract that sold their soul, well, then what are you going to do? Like what Jack Black says, they'll kill you and they'll clone you.
Jack Black said that. I'm joking, but probably there's a lot of, well, there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Exactly. Yeah, the way he said it is kind of like, well, are you joking? You're a comedian. You could get away with it.
Yeah.
But then all the mysterious deaths and overdoses of those who were coming out to really settle score. Man.
You know, the one I think about always, man, is like, what is that Saturn return? What is it, 27 years old, the Saturn return?
Yep.
Wasn't that when Jim Morrison died too? He was 27?
I think he was 27 club. Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix,
Yeah, they all died in the 27 club, right?
Yeah. And that's when their Saturn
does. What about River Phoenix?
Yeah, he was 27, bro. Jim Morrison.
Was he?
River Phoenix. Damn, that's so young though, dude, when you think about it. Like,
I know.
River looked like he might have been like, looked like 70, 80, 90, 23, man. He was younger.
He was 23.
Yeah. What a damn shame.
And right there outside the Viper Room.
And Saturn
does. They're tearing that down now, by the way.
They are?
Yeah. You can tear that down.
I got to play there.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I got a drink there.
Oh, nice. I played at the Whiskey a Go-Go, the Viper
Room. Oh, cool, man. Well, Jim Morrison played at the Whiskey a Go-Go.
I thought I was going to make it big, man. That's all I wanted. I wanted to be a big. Yeah, and I like would. That's all I did was manifest.
You wanted to be a rapper.
Oh, wait. Well, no, I was a rock star, man. I was playing keyboards in rock bands.
Oh, nice.
But now it's.
I have friends that grew up in the same neighborhood as me that made it up, made it as rock. Well, I don't know if you. It's a hit or miss. I ask people if they heard of them or not. Have you ever heard of the Mars Volta?
Yeah.
Or oh yeah, that's my boys, dude. And
what?
Yeah. I grew up like down the street from them. I was like, fuck, dude, that's crazy.
That's kind of
like, dad is like, but their dad was my shrink, a psychiatrist when I was a kid.
Damn, look at that.
Yeah.
Need a Saturn Volta. Dude.
Yeah, right.
Saturn return is the real thing. And most people encounter a life-changing experience around 27, 28, 29, 30 when Saturn makes its loop back to where it was when you were born. And then it comes back again, of course, when you're like, I don't know, 53, 63.
Is it? Yeah. So is that like the time when you like experience like Dark Night of the Soul or something? Or
yeah.
I don't know. Mine was different, bro. My Dark Night of the Soul was 30. When I got knifed and died twice, 2011 was my Dark Night of the Soul. And then it went on for 8 years. Yeah. So I went through a really extra long Dark Night of the Soul.
That's a long one. And they're not necessarily all dark. It could be that you have a kid or that your life just takes a whole new direction. For me, yeah, it was getting married and having a kid. And then the Saturn return, you know, Saturn comes into your thing as an influence. And at some point, it's got to leave as an influence. How many years does that take? Well, for me, when I was 30, I ended up leaving that relationship, leaving my daughter, leaving my ex-wife. And that could have been the whole saga, the chapter.
Oh, how old are you now?
33.
Damn, you're young, dude. You're at that age, though. No, 33 was my last year of, like, my peak in boxing. And then I started having back problems, knee problems, and then that's when I lost twice. Damn. And then that was it. That's all she wrote. I had a win coming out, and then that was that, bro. Like, but 34, 35 were my tough. Fuck, those are tough years for me, bro.
Tough years.
All the way, really, to 42. So
that's a lot of time just struggling, bro. But that is kind of like what makes a Cola diamond. That hard.
Pressure, 100%.
Because you had it all. You were the fucking king. Mm-hmm. You still are the king, in my opinion. But at that time, you're 33.
It reshaping, it redid. I mean, you get it's like this. When I got this, it's the Rise of the Phoenix. And when I got it, I had total commitment to go right back into boxing, become champion, and that was going to be it. I was in it. Then I got this tattoo at that time, thinking that my rise from the ashes will be becoming champion. You know, yeah, I may have been stabbed and my, you know, almost died twice, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to be champion. Yeah. Didn't happen that way. I came back in a completely different arena. So I was burned to the ground, ashes left, rose from the ashes, and now here I am doing podcasting, which is fucking crazy to me.
Right? You never think it. But your influence is so dope, man. Everyone I bring your name to, they know who you are.
Fucking wild. Not from boxing, huh?
Not from boxing. But actually, once I bring up you're the boxer, then they're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, the boxer guy.
Dude, you know, and then they connect the two things together. But I
it's
mean,
fucking it crazy, is. Nick, and you too, though. I mean, bro, look what you went through getting locked up.
Yeah, dude, I didn't think I'd get locked up. I was just following. I'm like the tarot card, the fool. He has his like, he's like running away from home. He's got a stick and he's got his shit in the bag and he's got a dog and he's just like la la la. But he's about to he's about to walk off a cliff. You know, he's so now that he doesn't realize what he's doing. It's kind of like me.
But they went easy on you, didn't they? Kind of.
Oh my God.
I mean, your sentence was, you got out of it. You're fine now.
Last night I went to bed like this. I went to bed going, oh my God, I could still be in jail. Like that still happens to me because they still are. Those people are still in jail and I have to like really hit me hard. Like I'm so lucky. Oh my God.
Are you on probation right now?
Yeah. And I have the hottest probation officer.
Oh shit.
She's great.
Don't fuck that up, dude.
No, I won't. They're not even drug testing me. I showed them like.
Don't say that.
Well,
no, I mean, shit, bro, you're on the air.
I know. It's okay. It's okay. I fought for it.
Okay. All right.
I showed them my medical card and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. You had me on a monitored probation for a year and I wasn't tested. Now you want to test me? Okay. I'm going to go pee. And then I did. And I'm like, there's THC in there, just so you know. And they're like, we have to report this. I'm like, yeah, it's getting amended. They're making an amendment to my situation. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I already spoke to them.
Oh,
and this is like the story of my fumbles is that somehow there's always popcorn there. Like I'm always given some.
So let me ask you something. You see probation officers, is there like weird tension?
Just when she came to my room, she had to come and like look in my room, make sure I didn't have guns or anything. And she decided to point out my fireplace in my bedroom.
Oh my god! Point out your bed.
Yeah, it's really cool. You have a fireplace in here. It's
like, holy shit!
Thank you.
Oh my god!
I know. I've been so blessed, man. My life turned upside down. The Capitol made sure that people got to pay attention to what I've been doing the whole year prior, making all the movies. And I couldn't have asked for anything better. It's not like I did it on purpose. The judge thinks I did. The judge is like, you use this as an opportunity to capitalize.
Of course they think like that.
And he even said at one point, do you know how many people died that day? How many people died? And I was going to, I just bit my lip the whole time. I was not.
Oh, my Lord.
I know.
Even under mind control, you know?
I know. But then they were still
weird, bro. Like, seriously, no, it's weird.
Even in jail, I was like able to manifest. I was thinking in jail when I was locked in a cell, like, how can I manifest in here? All right, well, I want 3 breakfasts instead of 1. And I would make it work. I'd be like, I'm lonely. I want to use an iPad. I'm going to manifest an iPad. And then I would make it work. I'd write a note and I'd be like, please pass this to cell 14. Tell him I want to use his iPad, please. Like, it made me realize that no matter where I am, I can make something happen.
Attitude is everything, right? I mean, dude, and you were probably, if I had to guess, you're probably meditating in jail.
Oh, yeah, dude. I tuned in galore to the point where I was teaching criminals how to do Wim Hof, teaching criminals how to do Kundalini. They're like curious. They're like, what are you doing? Because, you know, I went through 4 jails. I went through a tour of jails. And you know what's worse than jail is being transferred to another jail.
Oh, you mean in those holding tanks or whatever? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and then they put you in your street clothes. They don't give you, like, a jumper that's warmer than what you got arrested in. So what I got arrested in was a marijuana stretchy pants and a tank top that said Trump. And so they
that probably didn't go over too well in jail.
Nah, dude, it was either one or the other. I was made fun of, laughed at, yelled at, or people were like, yo, this is tight. Guards would actually like give me props. So it was just a shit show, man.
I remember when I've been locked up in Mexico. Oh. And I've been locked up in Phoenix with Sheriff, Arpaio. And there was a pink jumpsuit, dude. We were in tents. And I remember when I was in the holding cell, I was in there for fucking 48 hours, bro. No food, nothing. And then we were packed like sardines. And I remember, like, I was just sitting in the corner and people were taking shits in the fucking same toilet. And, bro, it was a fucking nightmare. It was horrible.
I'm telling you.
Horrible, bro. I was just like, oh, this is the worst. And I just tried, and I found it within myself to just get centered and just calm myself down. Like, this is going to pass. This is going to pass. Mm-hmm. And it was hard, man. Cause they would just do everybody together in those holding cells, man. And you're just packed like sardines, dude. And if you're claustrophobic, you're screwed.
Damn, bro. That's worse, man. At least I had floor to lay on, you know?
Oh, bro. I had a corner and I was up against the wall. I was like, shit, man. If you want to just lose it. Did they do that on purpose?
They do, I mean, man.
They make it as miserable as possible for you.
That's the thing about some jails, too. If they got a jail with a federal contract, those who are waiting to go to federal prison are in there, as well as those who are still waiting to get their sentencing and their trial. And so they make it shitty as hell so that the person will either tell on other people, become a rat, or accept a plea deal. And they give you a lot of estrogen-filled food,
like
soy products, so that your testosterone goes out of whack.
Well, dude, that's always been a thing in jail. They've always done that. So because they want people with all this high testosterone. They want to bring it down about 10 notches. They're doing that now to all our food anyway.
Straight up. What's up with that? I mean, they're doing it, but then they'll allow testosterone replacement therapy.
I don't get that either. That's where I'm confused as well. I think I take testosterone replacement, dude, because I'm 45 now anyway. So
I take it. I'm 33.
You're taking it now? Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what, I guess this generation, like, they did a study where men in the 20s and 30s had like a 1500 testosterone rate. Now it's like 400.
Yeah.
Like it's like dropped like a huge substantial amount. And it's just like the men today are. And if you look around, bro, honestly, let's just be honest. The men today are so feminizing. They have like a female energy. The 20-something-year-olds now, even 30 something. They're so emasculated, so feminine. I've never seen anything like, they don't have a drop of fucking testosterone.
That's a fact, man. I think about this often. If there's any dudes out there who are like, man, I feel lethargic, I wish I had more energy like I used to, it might very well be that your testosterone is down. You go get blood tested, they're gonna be like, yeah, it looks like 350 NGLs or whatever they measure it in. Yeah, you're pretty low. Back in the day, I think I think the measurement now is 400, but back in the day it was like 700, 800, 900. So they're allowing
I can attest to that, because the doctor back in the day would test me when I was in my 20s and be like, it should be about over at 800, 900. That's where it should be at. And then now they're saying the same thing. They're saying 300 something. Should be about a 340. I'm like, wow, when did you lower the bar?
Yeah. Who lowered that bar? That's unacceptable.
Yeah. I mean, chicks have more testosterone. Chicks are like, at a one something?
Yeah, I bet I attract a lot of chicks.
Women are like, 80 to 150 or something. I'm not sure.
Right. They shouldn't be too high. Yeah. I love being on testosterone. I'm not going to lie.
Me too. I tell you, I have to, bro, because I living next to Juarez, bro. Fuck. We used to go down there when we were just 16 years old and load up on that shit and get drunk. Get drunk at the clubs, and then go to the pharmacies and fucking load up on a shitload of Sossanon, and then go get hammered, bro. Hammered at like 16 years old.
Damn, 16.
Dude, I was a raging alcoholic probably by the time I was 14, 15. I mean, we were going to Juarez, Ciudad Juarez, and like, it was like the Las Vegas, bro, of fucking teenagers. It was insane.
Wow.
Insane, dude. It was a wild west back then, bro. It was so fucking incredible. I regret none of it.
Yeah, right? 14, dude, 15, I was drinking handles with my homies down at the river bottom.
We used to go to the levee, too. We used to do that, too. But nothing was like Juarez. But we'd go to the desert. In El Paso, you had the bonfire spot, the desert. And then where everyone was racing their fucking quads and trucks and shit. And all high school would go there. And then you got, like, all the high schools in El Paso going to Juarez. And then, like, fucking rage in Juarez, get in fights, get thrown in jail. Shit, me and all my friends are, like, well past 14, 15, 16 years old, but we're on that age. Fuck, dude. I mean, the fucking whorehouses and shit, just doing crazy shit, bro. That was given to us, that was, like, every border kid knows this, at least in the 90s. They know
this. Oh, shit. I could totally see you doing that, young stallion.
Fuck, like, dude,
all the ladies. I saw pictures of you young, bro. You still had this back then, bro. I'm sure you were just like turning net.
Fucking killing it. Yeah. I was like, just raping and pillaging, bro. It was insane. No way I could have been seen like in a relationship back then. Especially with boxing, bro. Boxing, oof.
A whole other thing. That's like you were a real rock star.
Yeah, but in its own way. Yeah,
big time.
Own way.
Are there folks from this era that we could interview for the possible movie for the movie we're doing?
So yeah,
I'm thinking in the meanwhile, it'd be cool to before the journey get some sit down interviews with some key people in your life who are around now who might have been around then.
There's some OGs, dude, for sure.
Dude, that would be so sick to intertwine that with the road trip journey.
Fuck, that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. On both our sides, you know, not just me, both our sides, you know, like where this is going, you know, make it a spiritual journey, dude. Like,
I'm gonna have to end up. There's some people I don't really speak to anymore, man. And then I guess there's some old school friends who I could reach out to that would be really nice to reach out to. But there's a lot of like me in my 20s, all the friends I had, see you later.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're all either like fucking married and fat and fucking or like still at the bar drunk. I mean, there's no like, I don't know, man. And then I've had friends that are just, gosh, dude, I mean, I don't, that were hanging out with me when I was boxing. They're nowhere to be found now, dude. Once I lost and my career went away, like they all just disappeared, like the lights went on and they scattered like roaches. Then I had friends that were hanging around me when I was in my misery, and that made them feel good, you know what I mean? Like when I was at my lowest, they had a new type of friend gravitate towards me to where they liked me in my misery. Does that make sense?
Yeah, dude.
And now that I bounced back up again, they've kind of like, they, I don't know, bro, it's fucking, life is crazy, bro.
Life is fucking weird. Yeah, I'm the most popular I've ever been and the loneliest I've ever been.
Me too. I wouldn't say, I don't know, boxing was so different, but I'm not lonely, but I'm happy this way. I don't need a lot of friends anymore, man. I don't need them.
Right? You got to have those the few key players who got your heart just as you got theirs.
What does it say? It's better to have four quarters than 100 pennies.
Oh, shit. That's tight. I like that.
Quarters is better than 100 pennies, man. And people used to tell me that when I was boxing. I'm like, no, I got out a huge entourage. I got to have all these people around me because I need to support. And I love it. And they love me. Fuck, they didn't love me. Mm. These dudes were just hanging out to get the fucking scraps, the chicks that, you know, like it was so, I didn't see it then. I see it now. I'm like, wow.
Right?
Wow, dude. Yeah.
I'd say I'm pretty content with half dollars right now. I think I have.
That's all you need. It's equals the same value as 100 pennies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, why do we need all these people around us? Especially, I think it happens that the older you get, you just eliminate more and more fucking people because you learn more hard lessons in life.
Right. And then you can start to pick up on the energies that you didn't before. And you're like, oh, I know where this one's going.
Yeah. Oh, dude. You know, you could just meet someone and then feel their energy and be like, fuck, dude, get away from me. This person's not good. And that's always the correct, the first gut feeling is always the correct one, man. Right. And then you find out later, like, I should have trusted my instinct. Like I didn't feel good when I first met that motherfucker. And then you know him for like 3 years and then they dog you. They do something bad to you. And you're like, whoa, man, I knew it in the very beginning.
And they say there's more neural activity in our gut than our brain.
Wow.
So with that gut feeling is right. And I could totally say that's true. I've had some moments where I'm like, damn it, I should have listened to my freaking gut. The gut. Yeah. So much.
How many times have we gone against that? And then you make your worst mistake. Dude, I even in the fights that I lost, which only two, and I shouldn't have lost those because I shouldn't have lost them, but things, so many excuses, right? But my gut was telling me something was wrong. Like the whole training camp, everything. And there was a lot wrong. I went against it. I lost my team. I was in a lawsuit. So I had lost my whole original team. I was with the whole new team. It didn't feel right. Nothing felt right. And like now looking back, I'm like, fuck, dude. I knew beforehand that I was going to lose those fights. It's your higher self knows. I just knew. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We got to really start learning how to tune in. Well, we are learning. Life does it for us. Learning how to tune into that is probably the best friend we could ever have. Yeah. I'll spend 10 days on a meditation retreat, Vipassana. It's free. If anyone's like having a hard time in life and wants a reset, that's the place to reset. But you just have to meditate every day. You can't talk to anyone.
I'm going to do that.
There are moments on that 10-day journey. The reward for me on that 10-day journey is getting to a place where I become my best friend again. And there's a clear voice that's in my heart that is not tuned out by the world. It's like clear as day because it's very difficult to get through. And when you're trying to get through the hardest thing in your life, that thing comes up. And that's what happened in jail. That person came up. He's like, oh, I got you, man. I got you. And that's what happens on the meditation retreat. That's what happens, I'm sure, by the end of our lives. So however we can get there is.
I just don't want to come back. I hope for me, dude, I'm like, I hope I've elevated and I'm able to go, you know, because I've been reading, I read the book, Many Lives, Many Masters. Yeah. That's a pretty crazy book. Have you read that? Have you know about that book?
No.
It's about reincarnation. It's about a therapist that does past life regression. And I'm like, dude, that sounds so tiring. Just to keep coming back, dog. I'm not with that. I'm like, no.
Dude, someone's been telling me that, not me directly, Many Lives, Many Masters. Is that what it was?
Yeah, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Someone told me.
I'm also reading the Source Field Investigations right now, too. That's really good.
Okay.
By David Wilcock. That's good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love. Yeah, he goes in it.
Where did that guy go? Fuck, I haven't seen that dude. Like, dropped off.
Where did he go? Yeah, he was kind of like a Team Jordan Sather for a little bit.
Was he? Oh, I don't know. But I do know, like, he... fell off, dude. And then I'm like, where are you?
I know he got married and then I saw him get a belly and I thought he's got money. He's happy. He's living his best life.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is good. And I heard he's difficult to be with, but who isn't? You know, life is hard.
Especially when you're really intelligent.
He's an intelligent.
He's got to have quirks. He's got to have some weird quirks. I mean.
Yeah. He's like.
But I think that whole movement, though. I think that whole movement, the Wilcock movement, the whole. I think. I don't want to say the person's name because I heard they're so happy, but there's a certain individual that got involved with Wilcock that's just suing everybody, the whole movement. And it's just upset the whole movement. So.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully he reemerges, man, because that guy was I think he was a blessing to the movement.
Yeah. I keep hearing from psychics and stuff about if you got a twin flame thing happening in this life, that you got to do it or else you got to live it again. And I don't know, man. That kind of pisses me off a bit.
I had a lot of twin flames. That's good. Oh, flings.
Right. That's hilarious. I got triplet flames, bro.
Hey, brother, I'm going to call right here. I'm going to go eat. It was awesome talking to you, man. Where can people find you, homie?
Scope me out at goodlion.tv. Join there for $4 a month or $48 a year. You get about 500 documentaries right now with 30 plus a month and then 17 from me a month. So one solid feature length documentary from me a month. And then I got about 16 informational productions that get made every month as well. So if you guys want to tune in to what I'm.
And our documentary will be on there, right?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. Our documentary will. That's going to be an amazing one.
It's coming.
Dude, I got through jail thinking I'm going to do Nino's documentary. Yes, we are. That was the thing we were talking about.
No, we're doing it. We're calling it right here. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Boom, baby. I love
it. We're going to do it. Nino and Nick's, or Nick and Nino's.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it. But.
I was thinking Nick and Nino's Storm Colorado. Or storming.
Holy shit, man. This is going to be good. It's just going to be good. That's all I can tell you, folks. It's going to be good.
It's gonna be right, Nick. It's gonna be good. All right, my man. Well, that was great.
Keep in touch, brother, and love talking to you, man. Good catching up, man.
Likewise, great catching up.
All right, brother. All right, let's keep in touch. Later.
Peace.